Davis, Eileen Orr, Kenny Parker, Robert Penn, Harmonica Shaw, and Joe Weaver, this CD has received great reviews, and we know that you will love it too. Support independent radio and order your copy of Uncut Detroit 3 Live Studio Blues for only $12. Go to our website at whfr.fm or give us a call at 313-845-9676.
Whenever I find great music or new artists, I can't wait to share it with you. Hello, everybody. Mark Anthony here, host of the Flash Drive Jazz Show. I'm inviting you to tune in every Monday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and I've got a lot of great jazz music for you. Joey DeFrancesco, the Marvin Jones Trio, Kimmy Horn, Sheila Landis and Rick Madel, Lynn Roundtree, and the list goes on and on and on. That's every Monday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, the Flash Drive Jazz Show, right here on 89.3 WHFR.FM.
This is WHFR, Dearborn.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Impact, the show that introduces you to individuals and organizations making a positive difference in the world. Hi, I'm your host, Lynn, and it's my honor to be with you this afternoon. And I would like to inform you this is a pre-recorded show. This is a pre-recorded show, and the opinions voiced here on this particular show are not necessarily the opinions of WHFR nor Henry Ford Community College. We are meeting today with representatives from the Ride for Kids, Michigan Ride for Kids, part of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation's support group, and what a wonderful group of people and what a wonderful cause. So we're going to have everybody introduce themselves, and we'll get started and talk about what the Ride for Kids is all about. Let's get started.
I'm Dan Featheringill.
I'm Susan Featheringill, and we are going to be the task force leaders in 2012.
Ralph Hunt.
And I'm Jean Hunt. We are currently co-task force leaders for the Michigan Ride for Kids.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about everything that's going on with this ride. And the ride is coming up on Sunday, the 28th.
And, that's correct.
Gosh, I'm excited. I'll be there. I'll be there registering, not knowing what I'm doing again, but it all worked out last year anyway. So
we always love volunteers.
tell us about the Michigan Ride for Kids. I understand this is the 20th anniversary of the Michigan Ride.
This is the 20th year. The ride has moved several times. It's been out in Washtenaw Community College, I think, for about 7 years now, somewhere around there. It's one of the least known rides, probably. I didn't know about it until I started. Somebody walked up and said, hey, you know, you need to go on this ride. Next thing you know, I'm a task force leader. it's one of, I don't remember how many
40,
rides.
40, I think.
40
one
rides.
Of 40, yes.
You know,
Yes, Dan and I know that.
Their goal is to go to every one of the rides.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
So far, we've done 21 of the 40.
So we're halfway of the 40. Okay. Right. And these occur during what time of the year? Is it just in the late summer or all through the year?
We actually went to Florida in February last year. Had to trailer the bike down there, but... We did do South Florida and Valentine's Day.
It was on Valentine's Day.
Was it on Valentine's
Day? Mm-hmm. I told him I thought that would be a nice Valentine's gift. So we went down there for Valentine's Day. So.
Wow. How long has the ride been going on? Not the Michigan. We know the Michigan portion is 20 years, but how long has the ride itself been?
I think this is the 28th,
I think.
Year.
Yeah, the first ride was in... The foundation
started in
1984. It started.
Okay.
And at that time, there were 100 participants, and they raised $4,000.
Wow! And last year, Michigan was over 60, as I recall.
Right.
$60,000 in one day, which is incredibly impressive. But it's all about the kids. Tell us what got you into the ride. How did you get involved with volunteering and riding? And
actually, my daughter and I rode on our first ride, and I think it was Michigan's first ride.
But second? They told us it wasn't.
No, it was
we thought it was.
It was their maybe second or third ride.
Okay.
And I don't know, we've been doing it on and off ever since then. And actually joined the task force a couple of years ago.
How did your daughter find out about it?
Actually, I found out about it.
You found out about it. Okay.
And that was a long time ago.
It was at the fairgrounds at Wayne County.
Okay.
And so it was near our house.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just saw a sign like on the road or something, and he went, oh, like we should go to this. And so and my daughter loves to ride on the back of the motorcycle with her dad, and so she was young at the time, and she went, like, okay, let's do this. And so the two of them went, and they had a ball and said, this is really a good thing. Yeah. And anybody that has gone, once you've gone and you've listened to the stars, and we call the kids our stars that we're there for, once you hear them talk and you hear their parents, you're just kind of like sucked in, and you know that that's a good cause and something that you want to do. So
let's talk about the kids. I mean, it is all about the kids. This is what it's all about. Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. How did the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation get connected with Ride for Kids? You know, a bunch of bikers raising money to help kids who have a horrible disease, a horrible situation.
Well, the Ride for Kids actually started before the foundation came into existence.
Okay.
Basically, Mike Trainer, who was the founder of the Ride for Kids, formed the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation in 1992. The foundation's basically is supported by the Ride for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, almost all of their funding comes from what we do.
Okay.
Around the country with all the different rides that we do. There are other fundraising activities done, but this is the bulk of what they have for it. It's basically it's funding. It's turned into the foundation does funding now for research. That's their biggest. What the money's used for is for research mostly.
Right.
They fund quite a bit of research with Duke University, and there's several other university foundations that are supported by it. And any of the research that any of the developments that come out of this research is shared. Unlike a lot of places that do research, they hold on to it and they have a patent and they turn it into a profit. The goal with the foundation is to share the research. So when they have they grant somebody a research grant, they have to sign and say they will share this with everybody else. The goal here is to find a cure for the brain tumor and not to, I've got this thing and you can't have it.
Right.
That's one of the things that Dan and I especially like is because that they're willing to share the information, and they won't, and like Ralph said, they won't give the information or give the grant funds to anyone unless they're willing to share that information, and that's what it's all about.
Do you feel like we're making progress?
It's come a long way. Just it's so far, I mean, the kids now have a better chance of survival than they did even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it advances every year. Yeah, it's, you know, hopefully my goal is to never have to do this ride. That's basically where we're at with it. I mean, I love riding my motorcycle, but I don't want to do this ride anymore.
Right.
I mean, that would be the greatest thing that ever happened. Yeah. Guess what? We don't need to do this anymore.
Right, right.
This is solved.
How do the kids get connected with these various hospitals and research institutes?
That's always a gray area.
Okay.
The part of the thing here is because of the patient privacy. We're not even, I mean, if someone comes up to us and says, you know, I mean, we have this family, we're not supposed to even deal with that. We have to tell them to go through their hospital. Most of the hospitals have connections to the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. Okay. At least they're supposed to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our stars that'll be out there at the ride on Sunday have been referred that way.
Okay.
Or they've heard about it from someone else.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of these families are very tight. They all share the same experience because they all have children that have or are recovering from brain tumors. So they get very tight as a community, and they pass it back and forth. The hospitals do have the information available to them. So when a child is diagnosed, like at Children's or Mott, there is information there if they choose to do it. It's kind of a funny area. Mm-hmm. It's like we're not supposed to say anything about it, but, you know.
Got it. Okay, I want to talk about the stars, so let's take a little break for some music, and we'll be back and talk about some of these great kids. And we're back. Let's talk about the stars. And they are stars in their own right. Absolutely. How many kids are we expecting to be there this year? Do we have any idea?
We know right now that there's at least four or five families that have confirmed that they are coming.
Okay.
And our ride is unusual because they can bring grandma, grandpa, brothers, and sisters, and we would try to get them all on a motorcycle, a sidecar, or the back of a two-wheel bike. We'll try to accommodate all of them so that they can ride with us.
Wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
That is pretty exciting, because I think that's something different than a lot of charity events do, is that they don't give the extended family that opportunity. But that's one of the things that the family is and the kids actually look forward to, that being able to get out there and, like, it might be their first and only experience that they get to ride on a motorcycle. So we try to offer that to anybody that we can.
And this is a family event. I mean,
definitely.
There is no way that child and parents are solo in this cause, in this fight. So, yeah, the extended family, the neighbors, I mean, I'm sure anybody who knows a child like that, it just has absolute feelings for them.
Yeah, we have one family that the grandparents are going to come. Grandpa's not going to ride, though, he says.
Okay.
We'll see about that. We're not sure about that yet.
And after the ride, we have a nice ceremony, mm-hmm. and the kids that want to, the stars that want to, actually get on stage and can talk, and it's really nice. It's nice for the riders to meet the kids.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. How do the kids interact with each other? Do they know each other? Is there like a support group for them that they're involved with, other than just the ride or the ride time?
What we've witnessed is that these kids keep in touch, whether it's through the foundation or just on their own. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they seem to keep in touch with each other, mm-hmm. and they keep track of each other. I know on Facebook, a lot of them are on Facebook.
And
they
keep track that way. Of course, yeah.
Right, yeah, because the foundation does have that support for the families, so therefore also for the, for the stars. And the one nice thing is during that celebration, and we call it a celebration of life, is what happens after the, we're done with the ride.
Okay, so this is after the ride on the same day.
On the same Sunday, mm-hmm. yep. You come back from the ride, you grab a sack lunch, mm-hmm. and then get to listen to the stars. And one of the things that they do when they're talking to the kids, they don't talk to them about their illness. They talk to them about everything else that's going on in their life, so that this is not a time when you're going to ask them, anything about their brain tumors. This is to asking them about, like, what do you think you want to do, you know, when you go to school in the fall, or what's
you
your favorite subject,
or
right, you know, all those kind of things.
The fun stuff.
Right.
And so they try to make sure that they gear it away from, you know, this is something that the kids live with all the time, but you don't want to dwell on that. And so it's kind of a fun thing, and that's partially why they call it the celebration as well.
So they're kids, not patients.
Correct.
Bottom line. So, how many people do you think are going to show up as riders? Is there any expectation?
You never know.
You never know.
It depends on the weather.
Yes.
That's a big factor.
Yeah, we had maybe 220 bikes last year.
I was there last year for the first time, and I have to tell you, it was one of those moments where it was life-changing to be part of that whole thing. But I remember watching the bikes leave for the 50-mile ride, and, you know, you're hearing bikes and bikes and bikes and more bikes, and it took a long while for them to all get out there, and it was just such an incredible visual. And then you would see the kids. You'd see the kids, and, you know, a lot of them with the bandanas because they don't have hair, and, yeah, it's just very, very meaningful.
Yeah, we always have the kids leading the ride.
Lead the ride.
Always. Mm-hmm. They're the first ones out. And then the next group after that, one of the things that we do is sort of like a little internal competition for fundraising.
Okay.
And this year, the Grey Group Dragons, which were the largest group that raised funds last year, will be right after the kids. So they get to... They're the first group out.
Okay.
And that's the way it works. It's like, okay, if you want to be the first group out, raise more money.
Okay.
It's sort of like an ego thing, but it works out pretty well.
It's motivation.
Yeah, it's one of the things.
Give them bragging rights for the year.
Absolutely. That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, one of the things that the foundation also supports, I think we probably skipped over it a little bit, is they give out scholarships, which I think is wonderful. Because a lot of these families... By the time they're done paying for the medical costs, See, the foundation doesn't do the medical costs for the kids. They do support for the families, and they do, you know, obviously the foundation funds research, but they do supply scholarships for the kids. And we've had quite a few of them. In fact, one young lady who was on this program last year and talked forever. she's a wonderful kid. She's gotten...
Kid?
Well, she's not a kid anymore.
Right.
But she started as a kid. I mean, she was there at the first ride.
So. At the ride that Dan and our daughter went to, she was there.
Got a scholarship from the foundation.
I think she said she was 8 when she was diagnosed. Yeah. And she's 30 this year, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've watched her grow up from that age. I guess part of the miracle for us is we've been doing the ride so long, we've watched some of the kids grow up. And we've been going down south for a couple of rides down there for a number of years and watching the kids grow up and knowing that without the research, they wouldn't have a chance, you know, so.
Yeah, that has to be gratifying too, though, to actually, but that's what we were talking about earlier is that we are making progress. The medical community is making progress or you wouldn't be able to watch these great kids grow up.
Right.
So that is
and that's one
exciting.
Of the things that we said was a problem, but not a problem, is that kids are now surviving and able to go to college, and so that now we do have to do that scholarship piece of the puzzle as well, which is a wonderful problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
If that would be the only problem that we had, that would be marvelous, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
We love doing those things.
So the scholarships are going out to the kids and they're graduating from college. Where are they after that? Do they come back as participants for the ride or are they supporting it now that they are, you know, a functioning member of society, so to speak?
Some do.
Mm-hmm.
I would say most of the kids, they show up.
We have a few kids that come back, kids that are out of college or in college that come. And they help us.
Mm-hmm.
They now volunteer and help us organize or put the ride together the day of the ride.
Really?
And,
wow.
I think that's great.
Very.
It's just fantastic.
Now, are they also sort of mentoring the little ones, the younger kids who are, I'm sure, terrified?
Yeah.
You know, somebody tells you you have a brain tumor. I don't think you have to be an adult to understand that. I think a child understands that this is serious business. And they are scared, and so people who have been there can come back and say, okay, I lived.
And I'm sure our ride is one of the venues that gives them the opportunity to meet each other, even the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that they walk away making that connection just from being at our ride.
That is so, it's so exciting. It's exciting to see that we're making progress because tumors, cancer, any of those words are just, they're terrifying in and of themselves.
And some of the treatments that they have to go through create side effects on their own.
Okay.
And sometimes they're lifelong side effects.
Really? Okay.
So some of the research is also going towards minimizing those effects.
Okay. Do you find that after a child has cleared the brain tumor that some of these side effects require additional surgeries and other long-term serious kind of help?
Yes, and I think in addition to surgeries and other medical treatments, I think maybe even some physical therapy or possible, special type of education to help them to get up to speed.
Right, and while a lot of it is, all of it I would presume is the placement of wherever that brain tumor, you know, hits, because obviously the brain is what controls every part
That's
of our
right.
bodies.
That's true.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
My head's in Mississippi. talking about that night in Memphis. Lord, I thought I was in heaven. I keep thinking about the night in Memphis. I thought I was in heaven. But I was stumbling through the parking lot of an invisible 7-Eleven. What was I doing out there?
We'll be right back.
Jean, tell us about the website info.
First of all, our Michigan Ride for Kids has a Facebook page, so if you need any information or would like to just check it out, you're more than welcome. And then to hear more about the organization or to hear more about Ride for Kids, there's a website called rideforkids.org.
Okay. All one word, rideforkids.org. Mm-hmm. Easy enough. And then, now is that the national organization at that point?
Yes.
And so there's a link over to Michigan?
Yes.
We can find out more about
right.
the Michigan activities? Okay.
Yes.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it lists all the rides,
mm-hmm.
and then it has like a calendar of events, and it will list Michigan, and then you can click from there to Michigan, and then you can actually see our whole pamphlet and all the information about it.
Okay.
And our Michigan Facebook page does, we try to put on there any other fundraisers we might have going on throughout the year.
Okay, all right. Anything coming up after the ride? Because the ride is this coming Sunday. So anything coming up after that? Or
Right now we don't have anything planned after.
Okay.
But I'm soon we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ride takes place at Washtenaw Community College. Talk about that facility a little bit.
That's awesome, because it's a loop ride, so it begins and ends at Washtenaw Community College. They have indoor toilets for us to use,
mm-hmm.
which makes it really nice. There's a nice stage
mm-hmm.
that we set up for the ceremony of life. We also serve a light breakfast and a lunch. The light breakfast will be there when you come to register. And then we stage the bikes right there. And then there's a bag lunch when you come back that we offer.
And anybody with a bike can ride, or how does that work?
Yes.
Anybody with a, as long as it's legal for the street, come on.
Everybody's
right. Right, right.
And then if you do have a trike or a sidecar or a two-wheel with a seat on the back, you can come and register to ride one of the stars or their family members. But we do a little inspection to make sure the bike is in pretty good shape and, you know.
And the time, place, map, etc., that's all available on the website?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, registration starts at 8.
Okay.
And so, you know, anytime after 8, you want to get there. You want to make sure that you're there probably at least by 9:45.
Okay.
We have a riders meeting, and at that riders meeting, then they'll explain to you how you're supposed to stick together, watch for, you know, cars breaking into the pack, paying attention to the police, all those kind of things. So that's really important that everybody's there, registered, and ready to listen to the riders meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I know in past years we've had some people that said, oh, the ride was supposed to start at 10:30. I thought that's when I showed up in the parking lot. And no, we really want you there earlier. And it's fun to come even at 8 o'clock and be there, and then you get to see all the other motorcycles that are participating, and it's kind of fun to walk through and see everybody's rides and see what everybody has and those kind of things. So
mm-hmm.
It's just a fun day.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of the stars are out there too, even early
yes.
in the morning, as I recall. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's, again, inspiring, because that's what it's all about. It's for the kids.
Yes, they do have lots of fun. I know when my husband and I, we've gone to the Tennessee ride a couple times, and one of the stars down there, you know, we've talked to her many times, and her mom, and we took her a little stuffed animal this year. It was in the shape of a deer, and it said Michigan on it. And so we took it down there to her, and I think we were there last year as well, but she seemed much shorter and much more like a little girl. And when we saw her from a distance, we're going like, all right, we're not sure that she's really going to want a little stuffed animal. She looked like she had really grown up over the year. And we saw her grandmother, and her grandmother said, no, I think she'd still like that. Well, we handed that to her because we told her that that was our Michigan connection. And so we wanted to share something with her so that she'd remember Michigan. And we're hoping that maybe she might be able to travel up here and visit our ride one of these days. But she just absolutely loved the deer that we gave her, and aww, shared it with all of the other stars, and went around, and we went like, all right, we should have brought several of them for all of the kids, but she was nice, you know, to be able to share with the other kids, so right, it was fun. Right.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to get out there? Anything else we haven't covered? Volunteers, we haven't covered volunteers.
Yes, that's my job this year is to do volunteers. And what am I thinking? Yes, we can use lots of volunteers. We have, and this is a one of those things that even non-motorcyclists can volunteer for. So it's nice to have people that don't want to ride that can stay back and help us, you know, make sure that those lunches are ready for mm-hmm. the motorcyclists when they get back. But we are going to have training for those volunteers on Thursday night at Washtenaw Community College and on Saturday. So one or the other. So anybody that's interested, and I think if they go to the Facebook page and just let us know there that they're interested, we can get them all of the specifics from
and
there.
And the address for Washtenaw College is? Washtenaw Community College is?
4800. That's 4800 East Huron Drive, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And what time on Thursday and Saturday are the training sessions?
On Thursday, it's 6:30 p.m., and mm-hmm. on Saturday, it's 5:30.
5:30 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds terrific. So even if you're a non-biker like me, they can find a job for you, and we'll be able to hopefully have a great day on Sunday. Everybody will be there. The kids will be there, and it's something I'm really looking forward to. I had it on my calendar from last year till this year. It was so meaningful. So thank you so much for coming in to speak to us and Impact.
And thank you.
Everybody have a great ride.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be right back.
At the end of the show's recording session, Sue gave me a copy of a thank you note that came in from a mom of one of the stars. And we talked a lot about the stars today. We talked about kids. We talked about kids with a horrible thing going on in their heads, but they're still kids and they have hopes and dreams for the future and they want to do what every other kid does. They want to get out there and play and they want to live, and it's all about the kids. But this letter came in from Kelly Tracy, and she was mom to son Matthew James Tracy, and I'd like to share this with you. Dear writers, I wanted to take this opportunity to write to your group to extend a sincere thank you for all you do for our kids. My son Matthew was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 4. We discovered RFK in 2006 when Matthew was 10 years old. He rode that first time in a sidecar and had a blast. He couldn't wait to come back and ride the next year. He was ready to ride on the back this time. After that ride, he was interviewed on stage and his natural comedic talents came out as he responded to whether he would like to have a motorcycle. Well, he answered that he was too young. The interviewer then responded his parents could possibly get a bike. Matthew very seriously indicated that he thought we were too old. She asked how old we were. Gee, thanks. And he said, around 40. What a sweet child to tell the entire world how old his mom is and that 40 is old. The crowd just lost it in laughter. He rode again in 2008, and he had so much joy in that ride. All 3 years Matthew participated in the ride, his photo was featured in information that went out about the Atlanta ride. He thought that was great. We did not get to participate in the 2009 ride. Matthew passed away on Mother's Day, May 10th, 2009, at the age of 13. I can still picture the big grin he would have on his face each year as the bikes would arrive at the end of the ride. I really wanted to share with you the absolute joy that Matthew experienced as an RFK star. The time, efforts, and heart that every participant gives to this event means so much, not only to the kids, but to their parents and caregivers. I hope the riders truly understand the gift they give when they pay their entry fee, raise funds for such a worthy endeavor, allow these special children to ride with them, and cheer these kids on both before and after the ride. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And it's signed Kelly Tracy, mom to Matthew James Tracy, born January 3, 1996, died May 10th, 2009. And you know, that's what it's all about. Thanks for tuning in to Impact, right here on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.
Kevin, now that you're in eighth grade, let's not talk about alcohol. You've got a lot going on. Sports, homework. So I'm sure you haven't noticed where we keep the alcohol in the house. When you hang out with your friends, I know how innocent it is. You play video games, watch educational TV programs. Besides, you're too smart to have friends who drink. By the time you reach high school, trying to be cool and fit in will be the last thing on your mind. You'll be focused on getting into my alma mater, not experimenting with drinking. So don't worry. I won't ask you if you've tried alcohol or what you're doing when you sleep over a friend's house. I mean, you're too young to even think about stuff like drinking. Right, kiddo?
Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% try it by the 8th grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early. Talk often. Get others involved. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Attention HFCC students and guests. The Skylight Cafe is your on-campus solution for a delicious and affordable meal. The Skylight Cafe offers several lunch and dinner options, including vegetarian and halal choices. The Skylight Cafe is located in the Student Center building on HFCC's main campus. Attention HFCC students and guests, the Skylight Cafe is your on-campus solution for a delicious and affordable meal. The Skylight Cafe offers several lunch and dinner options, including vegetarian and halal choices. The Skylight Cafe is located in the Student Center building on HFCC's main campus and is open for your convenience from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday. When you're on campus, be sure to check out the Skylight Cafe.
Criminal justice studies are concerned with the preservation of peace, the prevention of crime, and the protection of life and property. A knowledge of the role of criminal justice in our society also serves to emphasize the importance of balancing the needs of society to maintain social order against the need to safeguard individual rights. For more information on the HFCC Associate Degree Program in Criminal Justice, contact the Criminal Justice Department at one of the following numbers: 313-845-6437, 313-845-9714, or 313-845-9859.
This is WHFR Dearborn.
This is an official station of the MAEB. The Michigan Association of Educational Broadcasters was formed in 1977 to support your local high school and college radio stations. These stations serve the community and create alternative programming. But most importantly, they discover and train the next generation of broadcasters. For more information on the MAEB and its affiliates, visit www.maeb.org.
Who? The diva. What? Lyrical infusion. Where? On WHFR 89.3 FM or www.whfr.fm, streaming live. You are invited Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. for just a little afternoon delight. Join me, the diva, Lyrical Infusion, and WHFR. We're making waves.
Held in an empty hand.
Good afternoon. It is now 2:01 p.m. You're here at WHFR with me, the diva, and this is Lyrical Infusion. During these 2 hours, I flirt with jazz, I dig deep into the blues, and I take you for a trip around the world. And that's exactly where we're going to start on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon with world music. This is Gloria Estevan, 90 Miles.